Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, this is God's Word. Now, the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die." "No. You will not die," the serpent said to the woman. "In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Then he asked, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man replied, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate." So the Lord God asked the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than any livestock and more than any wild animal. You will move on your belly and eat dust all the days of your life. I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." He said to the woman, "I will intensify your labor pains and you will bear children with painful effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you." And he said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust." The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made clothing from skins for the man and his wife, and he clothed them. The Lord God said, "Since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, eat, and live forever. So the Lord God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove the man out and stationed the cherubim and the flaming, whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What this teaches us is a lot, not just about why we've got problems in history, but about why we have problems personally. Okay? God said, you can eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden except this one. And wouldn't you know it, that one was right there in the middle of things. Have you ever noticed temptation being like that? Temptation is right in the middle of things. That's where this tree was. The serpent shows up there at the tree and speaks to the woman and says, did God really say, those are the first words of Satan as recorded in Scripture. He's questioning the Word of God. And he twists it in order to engage her in conversation. He didn't say, did God really say you can't eat the fruit of this tree? He said, did God really say you can't eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? Well, that was, you know, she couldn't let that go by. But she gets into conversation with him and she says, no, God didn't say that. He said we can eat the fruit of the trees, except this one right here in the middle. We're not allowed to eat the fruit of this tree. In fact, we're not allowed to touch it. Now, is that what God had said? Just look back in the previous chapter and see if that's what God said. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will surely die. So what do some of us, people like me, do to God's rule? We want to add a little bit to it, just to make it a little better, okay? Because see, if you're not allowed to eat the fruit of that tree, well, then it only makes sense that you got no business touching it, do you? That tendency to want to add to the rules, to make a little buffer zone, to make it a little safer, that's what's going on right here. And the problem with it, it's not a problem when it's my rule. The problem with it is when we try and do that and make it God's rule. We start saying God said this when God didn't say that. Let me just tell you something. Legalism is of no use in restraining fleshly desires. I read that in a book somewhere. The book is named Colossians. It's in the New Testament. It's inspired by God. God tells us that legalism won't fix our problem. Legalism encourages creativity in sin because we find ways to get around the rules. But let me tell you, God says that having a bunch of rules and adding to what God has said and trying to make issues out of things that God doesn't say are issues, when we do that, we do not restrain sin at all. We just create a lot of self-righteousness, hypocrisy, Pharisaism. It is not pleasing to God. It dishonors him. And it puts people in bondage. So be careful. Because the first thing you see Eve doing after Satan questions the Word of God is adding to the Word of God. And that's a mistake. I don't care how good the intentions were, and it may not have been her fault. It may be something Adam told her. Because God told Adam, here's the rule, and then he made Eve. He may have been the one to say that to Eve. But whoever said it, it's a bad idea. I totally identify with the motive. I have to learn from what happened. Because having that rule that we can't even touch it doesn't make it less appealing. Just makes it more fascinating. So when she says what allegedly God said, what does Satan say?
Now you're saying Satan. I thought it was a serpent.
He is the serpent. Okay? We know that from other scriptures. You have to keep reading the whole book. This was a manifestation of Satan in the form of a creature that God had made. Satan is tempting her first to question the Word of God, and now he just flat out contradicts the Word of God. She says, in the day we eat that fruit, we will die. That's what God says. Satan says, you will not die. You will not die. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have met Adam and Eve? Anybody? No. You know why? They died. Okay. Satan said, you won't die. He was a liar. He is a liar. He is a liar and the father of lies. And he'll tell you all kinds of stuff in order to get you to do what he wants you to do. But Satan says, no, you won't die. God knows that in the day you eat that fruit, you'll become wise. You'll become like him. You'll know good and evil. Well, that sounds fascinating. You mean this fruit will make me smarter? You'll know good and evil. Look at the end of the chapter. God says, verse 22, since the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil, he must not reach out, take from the tree of life, eat, and live forever. Prior to eating this fruit, did Adam and Eve know good and evil? No, they didn't. All they knew was good. So Satan lied even by telling a truth. Satan is able to tell you a truthful thing in an untruthful way that creates a lie. Now, when he said, you will not die, that was a lie. Flat out, contradicted the Word of God, totally lying. But when he says, try this, and you'll know good and evil, that was the truth. The lying part of it is that he made that seem like a good thing. He made it seem like, if you do this, you'll be glad you did. That is a lie. That is a lie. Please understand that Satan knows how to quote the Bible. Satan knows how to tell a half-truth. Satan knows how to tell the truth in such a way that people will disbelieve a truth they should believe. If I preach to you about the importance of honesty, and I'm not honest, what's going to be the net effect with you? You tune out people who talk about honesty. Because it's like, yeah, I've heard that before. That person was a complete fraud. And so, please understand this. When we look at the original temptation, Satan gives us a blueprint of how he works. He has not changed his methodology through all the generations of humans on this planet. He hasn't had to. Our first parents fell for this stuff, and every generation since has fallen for it also. I mean, isn't that kind of embarrassing? But let me tell you something. A lot of the time, temptation comes to us in such a way that we think it's what we want to do. The hardest person for me to say no to is me. And so when I'm tempted, the most effective way, 90% of the time, the most effective way for the devil to tempt me is to make me think it's me. He suggests to me, in a voice that sounds very much like mine, that is what I want. And I think, that is what I want. And then I do it, and I think, ah, why did I do that? I didn't want to do that. Well, he's a liar. But he knows, if he came to me and he said, Jim, this is Lucifer. I'm here to mess up your life again. I wouldn't say, okay. I'd say, get away from me. But when he comes to me and he sounds just like me and he says to me, that looks good. You know what I think? I think, that looks good. So what do I do? Well, it looks good. I deserve it. I got it. And then afterwards, it's like, now I got to burn those calories. How stupid was that? It's ridiculous. It's even got a cloying aftertaste. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil is still doing the same deadly lies on every person on the planet today. And so when you think, I want to do that, you need to stop and take those thoughts captive to the Lordship of Christ. And say, is that something that pleases the Lord? I want to please him. So I don't want to do that. Because you know, I said I'm the hardest person for me to say no to. But if I decide I don't want to do something, it's very hard for me to talk myself into doing it. Folks, I want you to be victorious over temptation. If you're not in Christ, you're toast. Okay? You got bigger problems than just individual temptations. Your trajectory is headed for hell, and you need to repent and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you are in Christ, the devil doesn't say, oh, well, I'll go focus on these people because those folks... No, you're a target of the enemy. He wants to do everything he can in order to try and sabotage your walk with God. And we can learn a lot about how he does it right here.
If you enjoy learning about biblical truths on abiding in Christ, you won't want to miss the opportunity to join Jim Wood as you journey to the land of the Bible, Israel. Preaching since he was only 15 years old, you can be sure that Jim is well prepared to share insights at each location you visit. Plan now for this 2019 trip by visiting wvr.org/Israel. That's wvr.org/Israel to learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, he questions the Word of God. He contradicts the Word of God. And the woman, verse 6, saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. There they are. So she did it and she's still breathing. And she says to Adam, you ought to try some. And the original Bubba says, okay. But he was there with her. What has he been doing all this time? My guess is he was just standing there looking at her. He didn't speak up. He didn't defend her. He didn't say no. He didn't tell the serpent to take a hike. Instead, he just let all this happen. He was passive. So he takes some and he eats it too. And something happens. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew they were naked. I don't have time to deal with this fully, but let me just tell you this. Previously, part of the blessing and the beauty of God's creation was that the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. That's the way it should be between a husband and a wife. Your body, whether it is the ideal beauty or not, your body is an absolutely amazing creation of God. Even after the fall, even since death has entered the world, your body still reflects the glory of God, and you need to know that. Well, thank you. You have made me feel really good about myself. I think I'm going to stop wearing clothes. No, that would not be a good idea. That would not be a good idea because sin has entered the world and with it, shame. Well, I'm not supposed to be ashamed of my body, am I? No, but you're supposed to preserve its modesty. So at this point, Adam and Eve become ashamed. Not only that, but we're going to see that when they begin to interact with God, first they try and escape God. They try and run away from God. They try and hide themselves. First they hide their nakedness as best they can, making a covering, stitching together a covering made of fig leaves. And then they heard the sound of God, and it was like, uh-oh, we got to hide. And so they try to hide from the God who sees everything. You can't hide from God. But God, like a parent of little tiny preschoolers, plays along and says, Adam, where are you? Now, if you want to know what's going on there, don't think for a second that God couldn't find them, didn't know where they were, couldn't see. He knew exactly what was up. But God asked them a series of questions because they needed to confess. Why do you and I need to confess our sins? It's not so God will know what's up. God already knows what you've done. The reason we need to confess our sins is because we need to confess our sins. We need to get realigned with the truth where what we're speaking is the truth. Amen? So the Lord God called out and said, where are you? And Adam said, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Then he asked, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Did God already know the answer to that question? God knows before a word is on our tongue. He knows everything. Don't ever think he doesn't. The man replied, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me some of the fruit and I ate. What's he doing? He's blaming everybody except himself. That's death. That's what it looks like to be dead. Running from God, blaming everybody else, estranged from his wife, estranged from God. This is sad. And God could have just said, I'm starting over. But he didn't. God had already written the story. And it's a beautiful story. And so God deals with the man, and he deals with the woman, and he deals with the serpent. Hopefully, tomorrow, we will look in greater detail at what he does in dealing with them. But I'm going to tell you the most important part. The most important part is that God promised that the woman would produce a child. And that through that child would come salvation. They didn't get the full picture. God didn't explain all the details. But God made a promise. And the promise, in the midst of the curse, was the promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, who is the seed of the woman. And the serpent is going to strike Jesus' heel. But Jesus is going to crush the serpent's head. And you and I get to bear testimony to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.